I'd like you to give a big welcome to Blake Schnearing.
My story tonight is going to start with an excessive amount of vomit, and it's going to end with an enormous amount of poop. My husband and I had been married about 6 months, and we got pregnant. It was planned. We were happy. We couldn't have been any happier. And we were living in New York at the time, and we lived in the East Village in a five-flight walk-up. And I thought this was great because I was going to get exercise throughout my pregnancy and stay in shape, and we were really happy about this. And about 6 weeks in, I, every morning, started to vomit. Then I started to vomit every afternoon, and then I started to vomit every evening. So what I found out is I'm one of the lucky women who vomits throughout their entire pregnancy while they're pregnant. So when we would leave the five-flight walk-up, I would vomit behind cars. I would vomit in trash cans. I would vomit on the street. I would watch people walk in my vomit. I'd vomit again because it grossed me out. It was insane. So my husband and I decided to move out to Connecticut, where his folks were, and have our baby. We found this adorable cottage that had been renovated. It actually had a pink bedroom for our little girl that was coming. And so I went from laying down on the sofa in New York to laying down on the sofa in Connecticut. But I didn't really want to give New York up entirely, so I loved my doctor. So I wanted to keep going into New York to see her. And also, I grew up in Idaho, and my entire life, when I'd fill out an application or go anywhere, and it says city of birth, state of birth, wherever, I would have to write Idaho. And everywhere I would go, people go, famous potatoes. Everywhere I would go, famous potatoes. I wanted my daughter to be born in New York. So I wanted to continue to see my doctor, but also I wanted my daughter to have the opportunity of having New York on her birth certificate. So I vomited my way into New York and back until the end of my pregnancy, and it was a week after my due date because, of course, I wasn't the one who was going to go early. I was going to go late, and they called and said, we're going to induce you. My husband and I get in the car, and we storm in through a storm. It was January, to Mount Sinai. Now, we had heard Mount Sinai had recently renovated this beautiful wing that had views of Manhattan. It was private. You didn't have to share it with anyone else, and it was $800 a night. It was really steep for us at the time, but we thought, you know what, a little luxury, we're going to have champagne, this is going to be a wonderful experience, we're going to have this room. When we got to the hospital to be induced, we go immediately to the labor room, so we didn't get to see the room that we were staying in. And there was my lovely doctor and a wonderful labor nurse, and we were there all day, and it was great. And my daughter comes, and my doctor goes, and my labor nurse goes, and I'm there alone with my husband, and in come all these nurses, none of who speak English. So they would say things to me like, bit about a beach, shit about a baby. And I'm completely naked. I've got a gown on. I've got these milky boobs now. I'm holding a baby. I don't understand anything. And I'm getting a little afraid, actually. And I'm starting to get a little stressed out. And this happens over and over again. These people are coming in. I have no idea what they're talking about. I just want to get to my luxurious room and have some champagne. So they wheel us out. And we end up going up to another floor, the luxury wing. And they open the door to our room, and it's literally dark, and it's the size of a closet, and it resembles the Bates Motel. I kid you not. This is our $800 room a night. The windows had covered in dirt, and the bed where my husband was supposed to sleep looked like a 1960s dentist chair. It was awful. And so we check in, and we decide, okay, this is a big bummer. There was no champagne. There was barely any room to walk. They wouldn't even serve my husband a meal. Anytime we wanted food, oh, he's going to have to go to the cafeteria to get served. So on the day that checkout came, we couldn't have been happier because every 20 minutes in this room, it would go from being freezing cold to really hot to freezing cold to really hot. So you're up all night with your baby. You're up all night with the heat. So it goes from Mount Sinai to actually the Sinai Desert in this room. So we're ready to go. Now, my husband is running back and forth to the car to take our luggage because I have luggage. My husband has luggage. We've packed luggage for the baby. We have a stroller. We have a car seat, and it's a snowstorm. So he's making all these trips. And he's on his last trip, and this interesting-looking administrative-type woman comes in and she wants to do a checkout with me. So she's going through this form, and it's getting fairly interesting, the questions. I feel they're a little more personal than they should be. So she gets, and she's kind of vibing me. I don't know what it is. She's giving me some heat from her, and I'm a little afraid of her, too. This hasn't been the best experience. So she says, what is your religion? And I'm not a very religious person. I'm a spiritual person. But I got this very strange vibe from her, and I said, I'm a Christian. She said, I'm so glad that you're one of us, because you wouldn't see the kind of people come in here to raise their baby. Your baby's going to be so happy this is a Christian. She said, last week we had two women come in here who are having a baby. Can you believe this? And she wants me to engage with her, and now I'm mortified, because you really want a comforting and warm environment at the hospital. You just had your baby, and I'm actually hearing her attacking other people. I just want to go. And I'm waiting for my husband. She leaves, and I'm holding my new baby, and she has a little mess in her diaper because I can smell it, and this is going to be actually my first diaper I get to change. So I walk her over to the bassinet that they bring with your baby. It has the clear plexiglass top, and it's got cabinets all down the side that hold all the supplies. When we were in Lamaze class before we had the baby, the Lamaze class told us, make sure that you take everything out of that cabinetry, the diapers, the wipes, the creams, because you paid for it and it is yours. We weren't really sure that was true. So I lay my baby in this bassinet and I open up her diaper and out shoots massive yellow diarrhea. And I'm like, oh my God, my first diaper, okay? I shut her up, I open the cabinets, I'm gonna take care of everything. Everything is gone. My husband had packed it and taken it to the car, and he's nowhere, okay? So I'm standing there. The only person I can call for help is this gal who doesn't like lesbians outside the door. And I'm a thief now, so I'm not calling her. So my nice husband comes to the door, very reserved, very calm. I'm like, help. He comes over. He literally jumps like a foot in the air. He goes in the bathroom. We're paper toweling. He's wiping. It's not very good. Yellow around the plexiglass. They're piling up. It has now become a shitstorm in this bassinet. No kidding. It's amazing. And we can't call for help. We've stolen everything. We can't call anybody. So we go in the bathroom. We rinse the baby. We pack her onesie with paper towels. And we bolt. We are out of there. Back into the snowstorm. Back home. But I'll tell you what. The end of the day, no matter what happened, my daughter Lucia gets to put born in New York City on every application she ever has for the rest of her life. Thank you very much.